Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. If you meet today's guest at a party and ask her what she does, she's going to say she's retired and killing it. She is, and good news, she wants to share her method with everyone. It wasn't always that way. After several weeks without her 9 to 5, she was bored. As she says, life was 6 Saturdays and a Sunday. Fortunately, Lisa's professional background gave her the tools to figure out next steps, and she explains all that to us today. Before we get started, a reminder about the resource section at boomwithabang.com. You can look up previous episodes by subject. You can find books written by guests, some interesting courses and offerings, lists of jobs and philanthropic possibilities. Also, if you're curious about the life of a house and pet sitter, I'm journaling my journey. Listen to my chat with Lisa Haynes now. As you well know, this podcast is created with boomer women in mind. The youngest boomers have entered their 60s now. This means for the longest time, I get guest requests from financial advisors wanting to give tips and advice to our demographic how to be financially secure as we wind up the 9 to 5. That is so important, and if your pensions altogether, like mine, equal in the range of about $1,500 a month, you want to get as much info as possible. However, there is so much more to retirement than money. We are women. We can share accommodations. We can find a job that tops up our income. We can move to a warm country that appreciates us and has a lower cost of living. Maybe even all of the above. More and more these days, I'm getting guest requests from people who look more at our purpose after we leave the 9 to 5, our connections after we leave the 9 to 5, our identity after we leave the 9 to 5, and this is so important, finding and living with joy after we leave the 9 to 5. It was in retiring herself that opened Lisa's eyes to how unprepared many of us are for the non-financial side of retirement. Coming from an executive background, she took the bull by the horns, became a retirement coach, created the Killin' It formula, and wrote the book Retired and Killin' It. And she's here to share all that with us today. Lisa Haynes, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you, Agnes. I'm so excited to be here. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. Let's start at the beginning. You have a background in financial services, so I'm sure you were quite prepared to fund your retirement lifestyle, but less prepared, and I foreshadowed this in my intro, for the non-financial side of retirement: purpose, connection, identity, and joy. Tell us about that realization.
Yeah, so I, like most people, I'd spent a lot of time talking to a financial consultant, a financial advisor. My job actually provided someone who, when I first came in, he said, what are your goals? And I said, well, I want to retire by the time I'm 55. And he said, well, that might be a stretch. And I said, yeah, but if I stretch, maybe I'll get close. And so I worked really hard to get there. And then on that day that I said, hey, I'm retired and, walked out of the corporate world, I was like, this is great. I can do anything I want. And I slept for a while and I binge watched some shows on Netflix and spent some time at the gym, and I thought, this is going to be the life. And then I realized, okay, you're going to do this for the next 20 to 30 years. You have no plan. And I realized I didn't have a plan. I was walking into retirement excited about things, but I don't golf, so that wasn't an option. I actually don't play pickleball either. And so I thought, well, what are you going to do? And it got to about week 5 or 6 that I realized my life has become 6 Saturdays and a Sunday. I can do anything I want. Sunday's fairly standard. We all have a routine on Sunday. Sunday will probably stay the same, whether you go to church or whatever. I'm like, I'm gonna go to church, I'm gonna come home, I'm gonna cook dinner. That's gonna stay the same. But Monday through Friday became Saturday. And I thought, that is a lot of time. And so it was then that I realized, I can't be the only one who's not prepared for this. I can't be the only one who walked into retirement happy-go-lucky, and then kind of slammed into a brick wall that said, you have absolutely no idea what you're going to do from now on. And oh, by the way, that thing that's been taking up all your time, called a job that had a title and gave you some purpose and structure, it is not there anymore. So, what are you going to do?
Okay, I must admit I had to chuckle because so many people think retirement, think golf. I'm house sitting right now, and as I if I raise my eyes above your head, I'm looking out at a golf course. And judging from the number of golf balls that my grandson has found in the backyard, I think some of those people should not be golfing every day. That's a
That would be
complete.
me. That would be where my golf balls are.
Oh dear. Let's just back up the bus a wee bit. Why did you decide to retire, like at 55?
Well, I was a little over 55. I didn't quite make 55. I hit 58. I was okay with that. It was 3 years. But what happened is it was an interesting story. I was at a place where I was going into my 10th year as the CFO of the organization. And I thought, I feel like I've accomplished a lot. I feel like I've done what I came here to do. I don't know that there's more that I can do. And so I started to look for another role, right? Where else can I go and add value? I feel like I have one more good push left into me, just one more, up the mountain kind of thing. And so I'm a member of a group called a women's group called Athena Alliance. And I was talking to one of their coaches, and she said, okay, I want you to go away, and here are three or four questions. I want you to come back to our next session with the answers to these questions. And they were questions around what do you want to do next? What industry? Give me some specifics. And as I started to look through them, I thought to myself, this means starting all over again. This means walking into a place where I have to prove myself again. Do I really want to do all this at this age? Is this really what I want to do? And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to start all over again. And so when I came back to the session, she said, okay, let's walk through your questions. What do you think? And I said, I think I'm going to retire. And she just started laughing and said, that's not what I expected you to say, but I'm very happy because you sound resolute. And so it was at that point that I realized there's lots of things that I want to do. But going to work every day doing the same thing I have been doing for the last 10 whatever years isn't it. And so I have this kind of list of things. I always wanted to be an executive coach. I actually thought about doing it while I was working, but that doesn't work out so well when you have a really extra full-time job. And so I thought, well, one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to get some training as an executive coach. And so I started taking the courses for an executive coach. And then along the way, I ran into this thing called retirement coaching, which I had never heard of because I have the financial side of, financial planning. I already got the chartered financial certification and all that. And I said, I never heard of this side and thought, that's really kind of interesting. And then after retirement, pressed gas and pursued it because I'm like, oh, this is real. I can actually live it now. But the retirement decision really was, I'd rather enjoy life, right? I'd rather do some things that are enjoyable. And I was telling this story. I had a chance to be on a panel right after I retired. I was telling the story, and they said, what made you? I said, I had two friends pass away in their 50s, and I helped their spouses transfer the pension to them, right? And so these are people who both work for government, one local, one federal government, who never got to spend those pensions. And they were both in their, one was actually in her late 40s, the other one was in his early 50s. And that made an impression on me that I don't want to wait too late. I don't want to keep saying I'm going to retire and someday, and then get to the place where the someday is I never get to enjoy it. And so I said, I talked to the financial advisor. I said, so can I retire? And he said, you can. And I said, great.
Oh boy, I don't know when it was, maybe last year sometime, I interviewed a woman who had a messy marriage, finally got wooed, shall we say, by a lovely man who had always wanted to bicycle all the way across the United States. And she said, yeah, right, look at me, I'm middle age, I'm not very fit, blah blah blah. Cut a long story short, they did it. Within a
Wow.
short time after that, he died of cancer. And it
Wow.
really hit home of if there's something that you want to do, and
Absolutely.
I don't really like the term bucket list, but stuff that you want to pursue, like you said, there's so many people out there who just don't get the opportunity. And to have that loss, whatever it is, whether it's your health or your spouse or whatever, and just say, yeah, but we did this or something like that, just so important.
Absolutely important.
Now, you said that you sort of realized there was, six Saturdays to try and fill. Did you just extrapolate from that there must be a whole bunch of other people, or were you talking to other people who said, oh, yeah, me too?
So it's a very strange thing how this happened. So I go to this panel, which is a few weeks after I retired. It happened to be a panel, a women's panel, leadership women of the organization I retired from. And when they asked the question, how's retirement? And I just said, I think I was born to retire. And obviously tongue in cheek. And then I said, it's only been 3 weeks, but I'm really killing it. And afterwards, several people came up to me and said, I've never really seen anybody as happy about retirement as you are. Like, I've been struggling with the date, stepping down. And these are, most of the people in the room are vice presidents, senior vice presidents of their organization. And the identity thing really struck with them. And so one day, I'm sitting down and it just comes to me that, people ought to be able to go into retirement and say, I'm killing it. This is great. I'm loving it. I'm doing everything I wanted to do. And so I start developing this formula using killing it. And I can tell you, I can't say it came from anywhere but from God, because, I'm probably not as bright as that. But it just came to me that people like a formula. People like something they can remember. And so what are the elements of retirement that I think people struggle with? And so I was talking to people, including my sister, who's been retired. She retired a year before I did. A couple of people retired who said, yeah, I'm through the honeymoon phase. It was great. Now what do I do? And so just between that and taking the courses of retirement coaching, I got a real sense of what are the issues that people who are retiring or retire face. And from there, the book just came.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned identity, because that's where I wanted to start. So many people have identified themselves by their external roles. Now, for women, it could be, mom, spouse, employee, even daughter now, because our parents are all needing things. And they have forgotten, or they rarely think about the funny, supportive, puzzle-solving, sushi-making woman they also are. How do you help women, or how do you suggest women uncover that and just let the world see that internal identity?
Yeah, so one of the things I talk about, and it's probably one of my favorite parts that I wrote about, was laugh a lot, right? So as we grow up, we forget to laugh, right? We forget to have fun. As kids, I tell a story. As kids, I was the kid who we were outside all day long. I have no idea what we were doing, but we did not come home until we absolutely had to. And if we didn't have to come home to eat, we wouldn't, because you might be told to stay in the house. And so as adults, we don't find the fun in we don't find the fun in life anymore. We don't find things. We're afraid to step out and be funny and silly. And so one of the things I encourage people to do is, what makes you laugh, right? If you have a friend who makes you laugh, spend more time with that friend. Life is too short to be serious all the time. And laughter is actually good for us physically as well as emotionally. So the first thing I tell people is, what's funny to you? What makes you laugh? Go find things that bring joy into your life. The second thing I like to talk about is, what's your passion, right? What is it that you're passionate about? Everybody has some kind of passion. So what's the thing that makes you passionate that you can lose all sense of time working on that thing or doing that thing? That will bring you joy when you find out what your passion is and create some meaning in your life. And it's different for all of us. To your point, the person who's a great baker, right? If baking brings you joy, figure out how to ignite that passion. Maybe you become the person who does baking for something that gives you purpose. So maybe there's a senior center nearby and you can occasionally bake some goods and bring them by, right? So it's finding those things that really, make you happy and bring you joy. The third thing is about socialization and networking. And I don't mean networking in the work sense of networking. I mean networking in the staying connected to people. One of the challenges of retirement, as you know, is staying connected. People are like, no, I have all the time in the world. I can spend all the time with people. That actually doesn't happen. It's almost the reverse. You spend more time in the house and everybody's busy and the people who are still working, and the connections start to break apart a little bit. And so part of it is making sure people find what I like to call their tribe. Who's the tribe that keeps you going and continues to push you and help you to be that better person, to find this the things in you that you lost. So those are really kind of three things that I like to focus people on as they're kind of wandering through. Life is just life, and they're not thriving, they're not living, they're just existing.
And I'm going to unpack a lot of what you just said. Speaking about identity, I love that you started with laughter because all the joy, and even through college, university, whatever, you got the friends, you're still partying a little bit, or a lot. And so there's a lot of laughter. But then, you get the job and you have responsibilities. You might find a spouse and you have responsibilities. You might have children and you have responsibilities. You might have a mortgage and you have responsibilities. And it kind of sucks the laughter right out of your soul. So to really spend the time to figure that out, and as you say, if you find that friend that makes you laugh, or that whatever that makes you laugh, the goofy dog next door, like whatever, keep that in your life. So yeah, that's just so important. Now, connections as we go through life, the kids, if you've had kids, you probably made connections on the school ground, but that's long gone. So a lot of your connections are work related. And once you don't have those, as you said, those people are still working. They don't have time to, go play golf with you or whatever. What are some of those suggestions for making new connections?
Yeah, so a big part of that is getting out and doing things, right? Finding the thing that where places where you can make connections. One of the first things I like to take my clients through is what I call a relationship assessment, which is to take your relationships and it's a grid with boxes, and first determine of the people that currently exist in your life, what's the future of that relationship? Is it worth investing in? Is it something that you should maybe invest less in, or something you can just let go? It wasn't that strong of a connection. It brought you stress or whatever the reason, that might be one that you don't invest in. But first of all, the relationships that are in your life, which ones are really worth investing in? And start there. You've got to start with investing in those connections and keeping them, the ones that bring you the most value. And then as you find yourself moving. So one of the things I first encourage people to do is keep moving physically, mentally, and socially. It's easy to become very stagnant when you retire. It's easy to sit on the couch. It's easy. All of those things are easy to not get out of the house, right? I always tell people, I only allow myself to stay in the house one day unless I'm sick. So unless I'm ill, I have to be out of the house that day, even if it's to go to the dollar store. I have to get out of the house. I don't allow myself to stay in the house, but to find things that allow you to make connections. And so for some people that might be at church, become a volunteer. For some people that might be the local food pantry or a soup kitchen or places where you can connect with other people, particularly people who have the passion that you have, right? So my mom, for example, she started tutoring people at the library for ESL, so English as a Second Language. She started tutoring. My mom's in her 80s, but she was tutoring a woman on English so that the woman could, and the woman got a job. And so that was one, her mission, but two, she actually connected with the woman and made it, had it has a relationship with her. And so part of it is, what can you find to do that will help you to connect with other people? But make sure it's just not random things. So don't go play pickleball if you don't like pickleball, because then you'll feel like you're forced to go play pickleball in order to socialize. But find something that you love. If you like to, knit or crochet, there's lots of people out there who knit and crochet. Some of them you'll find just on Facebook, right? Like there's probably a knitting group on Facebook. I'm sure there is. Like there's a group for everything. So for people, find out what you love to do, because the thing you love to do is the thing you're going to like talking about, and other people who love it are going to want to talk about that too.
I don't want to sort of throw a glitch into this, but a lot of women by this age, they do have connections that are necessary. So they might have to take care of an elderly parent, or at least, run interference with that person. Maybe they pick up a babysitting shift with their grandchild, one afternoon a week or one evening a week, something like that. Is it possible, or do you suggest that they really might want to list those must relationships? And then say, okay, like define parameters. And I think it's fair, although it can be hard, having done this with my own mother, to try to set parameters around those relationships so that you do, in fact, have a clear conscience going into the things you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think first of all that people ought to set days for themselves, right? So you have if you have the must connections, and we are at this age, we all do. We have parents who need doctor's appointments, we need to be taken here. We need to either fill in or we've become the backup for our child care for our kids. But there are days that you've got to set for yourself. So if Monday is your day, agree with yourself and those people. I can help, but I can't help on Mondays. I can help, but Mondays and Friday are my day. So I think one of the things that we want to help, and so as a result, our schedule becomes open to everyone. And the danger in your schedule becoming open to everyone is your schedule is not yours. It then becomes everyone else's schedule. And so I always recommend people, what are the sacred times for you? Where for me, Monday is typically it. I typically don't take any meetings on Monday. It's the day that I do things. For me, whether I like them or not, I may go to the chiropractor on that day, but I also may go get a massage that day, or I may get a facial that day. And so those are the day, or I may do nothing that day. But Monday is a day where I really try hard not to take anything because Mondays was always the day where we wake up for work and we're like, it's Monday. So now I'd say I don't really have a Monday. Monday becomes an extra weekend day, and then I start on Tuesday. So I think that's really important, particularly in your social game, because you can use that Monday to go to lunch with someone, right? Who you could say every time, every Monday or 2 Mondays a month, I'm gonna book lunch with someone. And it doesn't have to be the same person. It could be, again, those people on the list who you're assessing. These are people whose relationships I want to invest in. And so you choose those, and it may not be lunch because they're working, but it may be it's dinner or coffee in the morning. You know, obviously working around other people's schedules, but finding some ways to allow to make sure that you have sacred time that's yours.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. And I like the way you put sort of, have lunch with somebody, even if you're just trying to get that, could figure out if there could be a connection. You know, like I had someone just say, I'm still dating myself in terms of I'm still getting to know myself and figure out, what I want in the next chapter, that sort of thing. And in many ways, we use the term dating in terms of a romantic relationship, but to use that figure of speech with new connections to say, it's nothing, not anything to do with the romantic relationship. This is to see if do we have a future,
Right.
because nothing's worse than trying to perpetuate something that is going nowhere. So.
And that applies in relationship dating as well as friendships. Friendships change and shift. And I think sometimes we think the friendship, which was on one level when we started, is always going to be on that level. But friendships change and shift, and I think need to be reevaluated. And sometimes we'll hang on to a relationship or a friendship that's fairly painful on both ends. Just because it's supposed to be, have this idea that we're always supposed to be this level of friends. And so when I start telling people about just assess your relationships, it's like, okay, is that relationship still in that spot way up high on your list, or has it moved down, but you keep trying to hold it up there?
Well, you just reminded me that, oh, a long time ago, I had that conversation with somebody about the fact that if we've got a romantic interest and it's going south, it may take a while, but we don't really have any qualms about terminating that relationship. But there's something about friendships that we keep on trying to, keep it going and, bolster it up and long past its best before date.
Right.
We're still trying to retrieve something. And why do we do that if it's not working? Because if it's not working for us, it's probably not working for the other person.
Probably not working for the other person either.
So many connections, just from what you've said, lead to purpose, and that's where I wanted to go next. It can be one of those facets of retired life, and every time I say retired, I tend to use air quotes,
I get
that
it.
is so hard to find. Like, what is my purpose? And it doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be, I was going to say world peace, but I mean, right
That'd be
now,
nice. That'd be a great purpose.
Yeah, right. But even if it's just helping out at the food bank, or I shouldn't say just, oh, I hate that word. If it's helping out at the food bank, or as your mom did, one person at the library helping them learn their English so they can get a job. It's such a purpose, and it leads to a connection, or vice versa. So let's talk about purpose.
Yeah, you're right. Purpose is really hard. It is something we it's something we struggle with, not just when we retire. Quite frankly, we struggle with purpose sometimes when we're working, even though we have a job. We're like, what's my ultimate purpose? And I think to your point, people, we want our purpose to be big. We all want it to be world peace, or we're going to solve some world problem. But sometimes our purpose is really, really small. I love Dr. Maya Angelou's quote, where she says, "Your legacy is every life that you touch." And so, from that perspective, your purpose could just be the life that you're touching at that time in that given, given space that you're in. And so, I think one of the things I like to challenge people to is when you're thinking about purpose and you're thinking about what your purpose is typically going to be aligned with something you're passionate about. Your purpose probably isn't going to be something you hate. So, I'm probably not going to, my purpose is probably not going to be related to, medicine, because I am squeamish about most things. So I'm pro not going to be a, like a, it's probably not going to be to go help people who need help on medicine. It's probably not me. It's going to be related to something that I love and already love, whether it's helping people. If you know that you love to help people, okay, we're starting there. What do you love to help people to do? So for some people, I really do think that finding somebody, and it doesn't have to be like a professional coach or anything. Quite frankly, you could have a good friend who could ask you the right questions, right? To say, I'm really trying to find my purpose, right? Here are some thoughts that I have. And if you've got a good friend who you can bounce things off of, they can often help you. Well, I don't know. You don't really like doing that. Are you sure? And so, again, having those right people in your tribe, and I know everybody doesn't, and sometimes you may stumble into that person, not knowing that you just met this person who's going to help you find the purpose, your purpose. But I think in general, people st start with what do you really love to do? What are you passionate about? What moves your heart? And then that's going to help lead you to what your purpose is, right? And don't be surprised if your purpose is not so huge that everybody in the world is going to know about it, and they're going to know that it was you. Sometimes the only person who's going to know is the one person you helped, but that was enough. That was what your purpose was. And know that your purpose for that person isn't forever. So if the, like for my mom, it was a season, right? She helped the woman. The woman now has gotten a job. She doesn't necessarily need the same. She doesn't have to keep teaching her all the things about English that she'll need, to get a job, because she has a job, right? So that was for purpose for a season, but there could be another one, which is what's your the next thing that comes along. But in general, purpose is helping people. My job is to figure out how I can help others, right? And so just knowing that that's your purpose, to help others, that your mission in life, I like to talk to people when they retire about what's your retirement mission statement. What is it that you're trying to accomplish now that you're retired? And if the answer is nothing, then we've got a little bit of work to do, because there should be something that you want to accomplish when you're retiring. And so, as I challenge women who say, "Well, I don't really have a purpose," I'm going to beg to differ with that, because even if that purpose is within your own family, right now your purpose may be to relieve somebody in your family of stress and pressure that they're not able to bear on their own. That by itself could be your purpose at this time.
I think too, you talked about talking to a friend, and sometimes the people that are nearest and dearest to us know us better than we know ourselves. So, they'll say, "Well, look at what you do every Christmas. You whatever. Why don't you look and see if there's more of that available during the year?" That sort of thing. I know for myself, I'm one of those knitters. I knit and knit and knit, and I don't like knitting for the grandchildren because they grow too quickly. Except I do make them toques every year, which sounds silly, but they love them and they've come to expect them. But after you make five new toques, So this year I've decided when fall hits and I get out all my knitting supplies is I'm just going to keep on knitting toques because Lord knows I've got bins of yarn, and drop them off at a, you know, a shelter or a food bank or something where people in need go, and somebody's going to have a warm head.
Absolutely.
So.
Someone's going to love the fashion, right? Something they got, they were able to pick up that's fashionable, it fits them, that looks really nice. So doesn't feel kind of like, oh, I just kind of got a hand-me-down or leftover, got a new something knitted that for them will feel like somebody cared enough to knit this for me. So even though it's for you, your purpose is knitting, the larger scale of that is how it's going to make someone else feel.
Right. And it's something that, sorry, you talk and then I get reminded of things. Somebody else I know, as of January 1st, is going to connect with a stranger every day. So if it's only just a smile and a hello, or, you know, you end up sitting beside them in a cafe, you know, like, how you doing today, or like whatever, even if it's just the weather, to make a connection and do it every day, one new person. And that's her mission for next year. And I thought, it's so simple in so many ways, even for an introvert, to smile at somebody on the street and say, hi there, or hello, or something like that is something that most people could do.
Absolutely. And again, I take it back to your legacy is every life that you touch. And that smile, you have no idea what they may do for someone on a given day. That smile, that hello, somebody's having a rotten day and you walk by and say hello or how are you? And you smile. Sometimes that can help somebody a long way that you'll never know about.
Yeah, I tell the story from time to time. This is many years ago when we were first starting not to carry cash. Everything was the debit card, even before touch. I just touched the imaginary card thing. And I came out of a shop and somebody was sitting on the curb, obviously unhoused, and, you know, asked if I had any money. And I said, I'm really sorry. Like, I just never carry cash. And, you know, I sort of made that 2 second connection. And he stood up and he looked at me and he said, I just want to thank you. And I went, like, I'm sorry, I don't have any money. Like, I really don't. And he said, no, he said, thank you for that smile. He said, it just made my day. And I went, oh my God. Like, if turning somebody down with a smile makes their day, it's like, whoa, you know, that really sort of hits home that we do live in a place of privilege, most of us.
Yes, absolutely. And the fact that you stopped and actually responded versus the number of people in that given day who walked past and didn't say anything.
Yeah. Well, also often with unhoused people, how many times do we avoid looking at them? You
Yes.
know, because we don't want to be asked
Exactly.
for, you know, money or anything. So, okay, so we've touched on a whole bunch of things. Joy. You know, at this age, and we've touched on this a little bit, we can be burdened by, you know, health issues. They could be ours or spouses, whatever. As we speak today, politics sure sucks the joy out of life in many places.
Totally.
You know, we worry about the, I'm just really going to carry on. I'm going to dig my own little hole deeper and deeper. What sort of an environment are we leaving for our grandchildren? Like, there's so many things to suck the joy out of life. I'm turning it over to you. Bring us some joy, Lisa.
Yeah, so you're right. There is so much to suck the joy out of life. And I just, so, for me, I wake up every day and I say, what am I going to do today that A is going to bring me joy and B might bring somebody else joy, right? So every day, what can I do? And we are creating a world for our grandchildren and their children, unfortunately, maybe even that far. That is, so, as my sister and I always say, these kids have more to worry about than we ever did. The only thing we had to worry about was what was in our lunchbox. And who might have, gotten your sneakers dirty or something crazy. These kids worry about things that we never had to worry about. And so, for me, recognizing that there's so much I can't do anything about, I can make no changes to it. What is in my circle? What is in my wheelhouse that I can make a positive influence on? And how do I stay focused on that? And so that really is, at the crux of why I committed so much time to getting the message out that retirement doesn't have to be this downer. Retirement can be this wonderful time because so we have such, I think I read a statistic, something like 14.8 million baby boomers are expected to retire in the next 5 years. That is a lot of people, right? And so even if that number is down to 10 million, that is still a lot of people that are going to retire. And we want them to retire well, right? And so focusing on people on mo keep moving, right? Don't allow yourself to get stagnant. Physically, getting people to some level of exercise, 20 minutes, they say 20 minutes 3 times a week can have positive impacts on your heart, right? So find a walking buddy. Again, gives you socialization and moving. What are you going to do mentally? Don't allow yourself to not, now that you're not working, now that you're not challenged in that, to now not do anything to keep your mind moving, right? Even if it's a crossword puzzle, find the thing that can bring you some level of joy as you keep moving. And then the social thing can't be underestimated, right? We are social beings, particularly as women, even introverted women, we're still social beings. We still have difficulty being an island unto ourselves. And so really finding those people in your life who help bring joy. I have a friend, she just makes me laugh all the time, right? I don't know what it is. I don't know if anybody else thinks she's funny. I just happen to think she's funny and she makes me laugh and she's silly. That's okay. So, someone sent a meme of us, two older women doing something in a meme, and we're like, yeah, that's us. That's us doing something that's crazy. But it's okay. I tell a story about maybe it's 10 or so years ago. My husband and a group of friends, all adults, were in Florida, and we see this go-kart racing place. And we just go running over to the go-kart racing place. And there wasn't a line, so it was just us. And we jump in these cars, and you would have thought like we were in the Indy 500 or something. Everybody like is so pumped, and then we're racing and we're yelling at each other. Yes, we were grown adults doing this, but the when we got, we still talk about it now, how funny it was, because we had a great time, right? We just had a great time, but it's not something that we as adults allow ourselves to do. And so I like to tell people, find joy. Go to Disneyland without any kids. Go do something that you love to do to make to allow yourself to say, yes, life has a lot of pain. Life has a lot of circumstances that don't go our way, but you can't dwell in that. You've got to find the space where you can find your joy, and then when you can bring joy to others.
Well, next time you go-karting, please give me a call. I'm all in.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was a blast. And if
Oh, yeah.
anybody ever finds a go-karting place or something, some ride, my grandkids are always trying to get me to get on the Tower of Terror. Well, I have a weak stomach, so that is not a good ride for me. But if you're one of those people who like high drops and you can deal with it, get on the Tower of Terror and scream your head off. The reality is, it's a great memory, and later on, you'll laugh about it. But I don't think we do things enough now as adults that are just great memories. I love the story of the people driving across country on their bicycles. I love to hear people. I would never do that. Like, it's just not something that I'd enjoy, but I love to hear when people say I backpacked or I drove in an RV across the country. I love that stuff because it says they took life by the hands and said, this is what I want to do. I've always wanted to do this, and they just go and do it.
And so many of my discussions about our generation come down to ageism, but what a great way, like you and your friends out there hooting and a holler and driving into each other or go-kart, like I guess they weren't bumper cars, they were go-karts, but cutting each other off at the pass and screaming and laughing and having a good time. If there was a younger person watching, what a great eye-opener for them to say, oh, they're kind of cool. They got this cool thing going on, and they're not sitting on their rocking chair bitching about my generation. So just to help knock down that, I mean, there's enough ageism out there without helping to build it up by saying, oh no, go-karts, I'm too old for that.
Exactly. It's okay to do the things. Like my grandkids were here with my son and his wife, and I put my bathing suit and jumped in the pool and started playing volleyball with him, right? So it's those things, those are memories that they'll remember, that I jumped in the pool and played volleyball with him. But at the same time, we had a lot of fun. Like, I'm in the pool yelling with them and who missed. And but again, we don't, sometimes we don't give ourselves permission to do that kind of thing because it might be a little childish. And I'm like, be a little childish, play double touch, right? Get outside and play some jump rope. If you can still jump rope, do it. Like, do the things that you love doing as a kid, just do the adult version of them. I like to say, go outside, and adults need to figure out how to go outside and play. Just reinvent going outside to play, whatever that going outside to play is. I think if we did that more, the pressures of the world would feel lighter to us because we have something else. It's when we have nothing else that, and we, you spend too much time watching CNN and listening to what's coming out in the news and, what's happening in the climate and all that. You listen to too much of that, there's no way you can't get depressed. So what's the opposite way? Well, how do you work against that, right? Figure out what are the things that bring you down, and you've got to combat them. You've got to battle against them.
Well, and as you and I have been talking here these last few minutes about, you jumping in the pool and all of us go-karting and stuff like that, by bringing joy to other people, you can't help but feel joyful yourself. So
Absolutely.
mission accomplished.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. And when you bring joy to others, that's something that you walk away from, that you say, you walk away from that with the memory and the knowledge that not only did I have a good time, but I brought somebody else joy, I made somebody else laugh. And there's such a good feeling in that.
And don't we all want to matter somehow, somewhere, sometime?
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
So there we go.
Absolutely. And we
Okay,
all want
what?
to hear.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, we all want to be cared for, right? So even for the person who physically can't do any of those things, because I don't want to
Oh, yeah.
assume that everybody's physically able. Even for the person who can't do any of those things, there are still so many things that you can do. As an example, if you have kids that love crafts, like, grandkids or kids around, and you're a craft person, you can bring no greater joy to them than to teach them your craft. If you can knit, if you can crochet, if you can, what, the punch hook thing, or you like to glam things and bead things, kids love that stuff. Whatever it is that you can do. If you're a board game person, kids love board games. They're never taught to play them anymore, but when you teach them to play them, they actually have a good time. They enjoy those, not just video games. It's just that we allow them to play screens and video games. But when you sit kids down and you play a board game, we play a simple game in my family. It's spoons. It's cards and spoons. Spoons are in the middle of the table, and when you get a certain number of cards, you grab a spoon. There is no electronics associated with that game, but the kids love playing it. So it's kind of like, what can you do from a human perspective that broadens people, that helps bring them joy, and it doesn't, it can be different for everybody. So you can find it, whatever space you're in, you can find that thing.
Pregnant pause. There we go. Okay, so I think we've been skirting the issue for however long we've been talking. Tell us about the Killin' It formula. I understand it's an acronym.
It is an acronym. And I love talking about it, but let me give it to you quickly. So the first K, the K is keep moving. Keep moving both physically, mentally, and socially. The first I is imagine what's next. So dream bold, plan smart. Like, what are you going to do for 20 to 30 years? So just dream about it. The L is laugh a lot. We talked about that. Laughing is so important. The second L is live for legacy. And that doesn't mean you have to have some grandiose legacy, but what's going to be your impact? Maybe you're just going to share your wisdoms. And again, your legacy can be every life that you touch. The second I is for ignite your passion. Pursue whatever brings you some energy and fulfillment. Like, figure out what that is and just go for it. The N is nurture your network. So that's network and cultivate meaningful relationships. Don't let things just coast along, but be very deliberate about your relationships and creating your circle. The third I is invest in others. How are you going to give back? Everybody who retires, in my opinion, ought to figure out a way to give it back. We've all been given so much, And so, to whom much is given, much is required. We all should figure out how we're going to give back to others. And the T is tell yourself you're killing it. Even when you doesn't necessarily feel like you are, you've got to own the retirement, own your confidence, and say, I'm killing it. You may not kill it every day. You may not use everything in the acronym. Maybe you're killing it on one or two or three letters. But if you find something, some ways to use this formula, to use pieces of this and say, wow, I am really nailing this. It builds a level of confidence in you that says, this retirement thing is great. I want to encourage other people to have as great a time at retirement as I am. And for the identity piece, for a lot of people, it's that question, what do? And that happens at a cocktail party, at a Christmas party, what do? And my answer to people now is my retirement tagline. I'm retired and I'm killing it. And people think that's hilarious and it's funny. And I'm like, but it's true. That's what I do.
Just don't dig up all the bodies in the backyard from what you've been
Don't dig
killing.
up any of those bodies in the backyard. Let's leave all that in the past.
I needed you to go through that because you keep on talking about moving and being mentally sharp, and I'm going like, there's no M's in killing it. What is, but you said keep on moving, keep
So
on
keep
being.
moving. Yes. So the K is keep moving. Just so that's the first letter of every. Keep moving, both physically, mentally, and socially. And I encourage people to take that physical game and really have a plan, right? What are you going to do to continue to exercise? And one of the things I learned, and largely from my dad, was my dad would always ask before he passed away. My dad would always ask me, did you exercise today? Did you exercise today? What did you do today? He had some health challenges and he wanted to make sure that I continued to exercise. He said, I always wished I had a continued walking at the same level that I was. And so one of the things I say to people is know what's in your history that you're fighting against. So I know what's in my genes, and so I need to fight against the stuff that's in my genes. I know arthritis is in my genes and heart disease and stroke. I know some of those things are in my genes. And so physically, I have to make sure that I work on my body and try to eat in ways to fight against that, not just kind of let it creep in and say, oh, it is what it is. So I really encourage people on the physical side to be very deliberate about making sure that you're doing. You can't stop every illness, but do your part to make sure that you're trying to fight against it.
Right. Now, the other word that, excuse me, caught my attention was legacy. And so often when we talk about le legacy, we think about like the big inheritance or the big whatever. But the way I look at legacy, and hopefully this is sort of along the lines that you're thinking, is, I want my grandchildren to tell great stories at my funeral.
You nailed it.
That sort of thing, because yeah, I'm never going to leave them a kajillion dollars, and I don't really care about that, and I don't think they care about that either. But yeah, like I've often said, open bar, open mic. I want the stories out there, whether it's tears or laughter or whatever, just do it. So, yeah.
Absolutely. You absolutely nailed the essence of it. And so one of the exercises in the book talks about a little bit more of it, but creating your obituary, right? Or the things that you want people to say at your funeral about you. What do you want people to say? That's your legacy. And so now you live in a way that you get there, right? To your point, I want my grandkids to tell good stories about me. What are the things that you want said about you at the end? And I think Stephen Covey is the one who said, begin with the end in mind, right? So what's your end? And then that's how you need to live to make sure that that legacy is what you leave, right? And that's, you're right. It's not this grant. It's not going to be for most of us $1 million, right? I don't have $1 million to leave anybody, but I want the legacy to be bigger than $1 million. I want it to be memories. I want the legacy to be the character that I carried, a character that teaches them character. So just people to think more broadly about legacy is what do you want your life to have represented? What do you want people to say about you when it's all said and done? And I think that that is much greater to me than the $1 million.
On my website, I've got a page called Stories My Mother Told Me.
Mm.
And, I often sort of chuckle and think, oh boy, she's living on forever and ever because of the stories that so many people go like, she did what?
That's
So.
exactly what legacy, that's exactly what I see as legacy, that your grandchildren and their grandchildren will have these stories about your mother who they never met.
Okay, so you got a book and a workbook. You
Yes.
got some workshops coming up.
I do. I actually have a free workshop on, it's published on Eventbrite. It's a free 30-minute workshop that says things your financial advisor doesn't talk about. It's just kind of some general information about, for those who are retired or retiring, what are some of these issues that we've talked about? And then working on, in the process of probably October, will be four-part workshops where people can really dive into some of these very issues, right? So how do you laugh a lot? What's my legacy? What's my purpose? How do I get from, okay, I'm retired from anybody who I'm retiring in a year and I have no idea what's next, right? So how do I get to my next? And I think you coin it similar to do I do. I call it from what to what, and you call it something similar. I notice it's people getting people to focus on not the from what, but what are you going to? What do you transition to? And that's the part I think that's really important for people, is you've got to know what you're going to, because the to is the future. And I think too much time we're looking at the past. Yep, you might have been a great whatever you were, right? Whatever that role was that you were in, you might have been great at that. You may have been a great stay-at-home mom, but your kids are grown and they not waiting for a snack when you come home. So now you've got to move on to what's your next. So October, I've got some workshops starting, really looking forward to it. And quite a few more podcasts, which I'm very excited
Oh,
about.
that's great. Now, on your website, there's a free retirement workshop and there's a registration button. Is that the one that takes you to Eventbrite?
We'll take you to Eventbrite.
Okay. What haven't I asked you that you want midlife women to really think about as they consider this next chapter? Is there anything we haven't talked about? I think we've hit a lot of points.
We had a lot of good points. I think I would, the only thing I would offer to midlife women is, it's never too early to start planning, right? It's never, people say, well, I'm not retiring for 5 or 6 years. It's never too early, because how you plan determines how you retire, right? And so if my plan to retire, let's just say I'm putting this plan together and I decide, you know what? I think I'm going to open my own business. And I'm going to work part-time and open my own business. That could impact the when of you retiring. So the 5 years could turn into three if you started your side hustle business now, and in 3 years it starts to take off, and you're like, well, work's now getting in the way, right? My full-time job's getting in the way of this. So I would say to women, it's never too early to start thinking about the planning for your retirement, and it's never too late. So if you've already been retired I've already been retired 5 years, I'm already bored and I don't know what to do, but it's never too late to start making a plan. So wherever they are in that journey, getting themselves a plan for how they're going to spend the next 20, 30, whatever, because we're living longer. That's a lot of years to live. How am I going to spend that time? Particularly in this period of time where I'm at my healthiest, because our health is only going to go downhill after this. But I'm in my healthiest. How am I going to spend that time?
I like that. It's never too early. The phrase that you referred to earlier is to quit thinking about what you're retiring from, because we all know what we're retiring from and what are we retiring to. And that's exactly where you come in. Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
So you can find me on the web. My retirement site is www.retiredandkillingit.com. Facebook, the same, Retired and Killing It. Instagram, Retired and Killing It, makes it all very easy. Everything uses Retired and Killing It, and that's super easy to remember.
I had glanced at your socials and Instagram wasn't there, so I've just made a note of it. There we go.
Instagram just got set up. Had to hire my consultant, my contractor consultant, to get that set up, because I didn't know how to connect. That's when you definitely need your millennials. I didn't know how to connect the Facebook to the
Oh,
Instagram and all
don't
that.
say that. I do it all myself, so bite your
Do you?
tongue. I'll tell
I'm trying to learn, but
Oh, well, no, I
Yes.
mean, you maybe don't need to. You've got that other person. But I'm just
Unless I had
saying
to
that
hire the millennial to get me
you just
started.
self-ageist yourself. Okay. Can I ask you a personal question before we close?
Absolutely.
Okay. Who is Lisa Haynes when she's not coaching pre-res? You've given us some tips. I mean, you're a crazy, what's a kart racer, and you jump in the pool with your grands. Tell us more about Lisa Haynes.
So I enjoy laughing. I like to have fun. I like adventure, but I'm not a risk taker. So I like to participate in things that are going to make me laugh. I've always been, since, I don't know, my teachers might have said class clown. I would have just said I'm funny. I've always liked to laugh. And so the things I enjoy is I very much enjoy hanging out with my family and just laughing about whatever happens to be laugh whatever we happen to be laughing about. I'm becoming somebody who's very health conscious, haven't always been, but trying to maintain some levels of health. So some would say a little obsessive, but I'm not. I'm just being very conscious about it. But in general, I like to live a stress-free, drama-free life. I've always told people I'm allergic to drama. And so anything that's just going to be lightweight, I'm like, yeah, I can do that. But I enjoy having a good time. I gotta tell you, I don't, and I'm an introvert. That's the funny part. I enjoy having a good time. And so as a result, the places that are safe, family, I love hanging out with my grandkids. I think they're hilarious. They're a lot of work, but they're still hilarious. So I very much enjoy, and their ages range. And so it's great because I have little ones who, and then I have big ones who you can actually have conversations with. And so I really enjoy family time. I'm very much a person of faith. I spend, spend a lot, I've spent a lot of my time doing ministry. I'm married to a minister, a former pastor, and so that is my faith. My Christianity is very important to me. But for me, I'm playing people who's trying to figure out how to help others.
You keep on going back to laughter, and I'd had a thought part with your conversation that it went right out of my brain again. But as at this age, we are the wise women. We have knowledge and wit. Well, I shouldn't say knowledge. We have the wisdom of the years. But in terms of legacy, to have all that wisdom, and share so much with our grandchildren and whatever, but for them to know, despite all that, oh my God, she loved to laugh. Oh, she was so funny, and she'd she'd splash us in the pool, or whatever, like all that sort of stuff. Like what a great expanse of personality, of legacy,
Yeah.
that we can leave with
And
very little work.
the one thing my grandkids will tell you, if music comes on, Mimi is going to dance. I love to dance. And so it's just, I talk about time. Dancing is my happy place. And so my grandkids will tell you, if music comes on, it doesn't matter where it is, even in the store, Mimi's probably going to dance. Maybe they're a little embarrassed, but they do think it's funny.
That's hilarious. I was in a new shop in town here, literally a couple of days ago, and they had great upbeat music, and it's a massive, great food store, shall we say. And there was a woman in the aisle with like maybe a 2-year-old in a cart. I had my two that were 7 and 15, and the two women, like the two of us that were about the same age, were grooving to the music.
I love it.
She kept on dancing with her little grandchild, and I'm trying to
I
push
love it.
mine into dancing a wee bit. It was so funny. All right. Your website link is in the show notes, and all the links are on your page at our website. Listeners, what stage of this retirement, or I like to say renewment, path are you on? Let us know where you are and how you're feeling about your future. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Was there a question I didn't ask Lisa? I think we touched on a whole bunch of stuff, so I'm really pleased that you just aced everything. Anyways, if there was something I didn't ask Lisa, ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. If you didn't have your own answers to the identity, the connections, the purpose, and the joy parts of my conversation with Lisa, then good chance a friend is in the same boat. Maybe you can listen to this conversation together and plan together. Maybe even attend Lisa's workshops together. If you enjoyed this conversation, click the follow button at your favorite podcast platform. It helps us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. Lisa Haynes, thank you for being my guest. You've given us so much food for thought, and your enthusiasm is really contagious. I was trying to think of the word, is so contagious. But so much food for thought as we ponder giving up the 9 to 5, some of us already have, and realize that retirement, again, those air quotes, isn't necessarily what people expect. We can make it our own. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I had a wonderful time.
Have a great rest of week.